If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Have you ever thought regarding this matter of quitting? Ah, forget it. What's the use? What's the point? I might as well just quit. Now, please don't look at me tonight like you're a visitor from heaven, okay? If most of us has at least thought some of these sayings, if not actually said them. You know, the devil tries to beat us down with discouragement, doesn't he? I think his greatest weapon is discouragement. For it fosters so many other things. I think of how he wears us down with weariness. We get weary and then we're a prime attack candidate for Satan. I think of how he will use trials in our life. He'll make it seem that God is not fair. And can I say this, ladies and gentlemen, God is not fair. He's gracious and merciful. We ought to be glad God is not fair. Glad that he's gracious and merciful. But he'll make it seem that, if we could say it this way, God's doing us wrong. He'll use trials. He'll use our failures, won't he? Anybody ever fail God besides me? You can say amen. Well, you know how the devil, boy, he loves to focus you or get you to focus on your failures. Well, you said you were going to read your Bible last year and you didn't. I guess you'll probably just quit again this year. By the way, anytime you hear something like that, you just know it's not God. Amen. No, it's not your Heavenly Father. He'd say, just get up and keep trying. Amen. But he'll use illness. I think of those of you that have been ill this year and how the devil's tried to discourage you through that illness. He's trying to get you to quit. Well, he uses our past, doesn't he, Brother Holy? He uses our past. Oh, you think about, listen, I think of honestly, if I were to bring some people into our church from my past, they could give you a laundry list of things that I have done before I knew God. Into every one of them, I would have to say, Brother Phelps, I did that. I did that. I did that. But it's God that justifieth. Amen. It's God that saved my soul. Why does he work so hard at trying to get us to quit? Can he steal our soul? No. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one, John 10, 28, 30 tells us. He can't steal our soul if we're truly saved. Why does he work so hard at discouraging us? Because he wants us to quit. He wants us to quit. Why? You see, he knows, if I could say, and again, I'm not pointing out individuals. He knows, Andrew Bittinger, that you're going to do something great for God one day. So he wants you to quit now. Get you before you start. He knows, Miss Perrine, how important you are to the church of God. So he works on you to try to get you to quit. He knows Brother Epperly, that your faithfulness encourages people around you. So he wants you to quit. So somebody else will quit. We learned in Sunday school this morning. Peter said, I go fishing. I'm going back to my old lifestyle. I've had it with this ministry stuff. And six other disciples said, we're going with you. We're out of here. Think about it. Think about Brother Jackson, what a testimony you are to your lost coworkers. Why wouldn't the devil want to get you to quit? He want to get you to stop reading your Bible. Stop talking to people about Christ. Pastor John, he knows that you lead your family for God. So if he can get you to quit, you know what? He can mess up these kids' lives for the rest of their lives. If he can get you to quit. Think about it. We mentioned it. You might do something incredible for God. So he wants to get you to quit. And listen, if he can get you to quit, he can deter the work of God. He can damage the church of God. He can discourage the saints of God. He can damn the men and women to hell. He can derail your family. And he can detour you from God's best. So he always, always is trying to get you to quit. Listen, I would say not my number one goal. My number one goal is to glorify God in all that I do, just like you, amen. But I would say as a pastor, it is always my goal to encourage you to stay in the battle and not quit. Stick at it. Listen, wars are not won by quitters. You think about it, you that fought in the greatest generation. I thought about it a couple weeks ago when I had that flu. I was telling my wife, I don't know about how you men are, but let me just confess my faults one to another. When I get sick, this is me. The whole world comes to an end. I'm telling you, don't come near me. Don't touch me. Don't talk to me. Just let me lay in the bed. And I think about those brave men. I think about those brave men on islands like Tarawa and Guadalcanal in the Leyte Gulf that had malaria and that were throwing up and had dysentery and were so sick they lost literally 40 and 50 and 60 pounds. But you know what happened? When the Japanese came over the hill, they had to pick up their weapon and fire. Think about that. They didn't quit. They didn't quit. I mentioned it this morning in our Sunday school class, but I really believe at Midwestern Baptist College, every third message that we heard in chapel, heard roughly 1,000 messages in my 4 years at Midwestern Baptist College, I have every outline in my office. Every third message was, don't quit. Don't quit. Because I want to tell you something, there were some real quitting places for a Bible college student, particularly a married student. We were tired. We were wiped out. I was working 40 hours, 50 hours a week, doing 40 hours worth of school and coming home on very, very little sleep and not knowing where the next payment was coming from or anything like that. And the devil said, quit, 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 quit. He worked on me. You know what? I know that that's not germane to me. He works on you. Trying to get you to quit. He's trying to get you to quit. Well, we've already gone over why he would get you to quit or try to get you to quit. But I put in our bulletin that picture on purpose today. That picture of the rock climber. And it's a picture at sunset. So this person is climbing this rock, climbing this cliff, and the sun is setting. He has two choices. He can either rappel back down to the bottom and start over in the morning, or he can not relinquish all that ground he's gained and finish toward the top. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to just keep going. He wants us to just keep going. We talked about it. The Bible says in Matthew 25:13, watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, you know it. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's so much in that verse, but one of the main things, one of the main issues, one of the main doctrinal points of that verse is Paul fully expected the Lord to come back while he was alive. What does that mean? That means that the Lord could come back at any moment. Brother Boston, I'd hate to quit the day before he comes back. I'd hate to throw in the towel spiritually and then the Lord come back. Think about it. How blessed the thought that the sweet Lord Jesus could return at any moment to whisk away his bride. You know the song, Marvelous Message We Bring. Glorious carol we sing. A wonderful word of the King. Jesus is coming again. The Bible also teaches that when Jesus comes back, he's going to reward those who served him. Revelation 22:12 says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Then in Revelation 3:11, it says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And I believe I want to say, 2 John 1:8, look to yourselves that ye lose not that full reward which you have wrought. That means it's possible. It's not possible to lose your salvation. But it is possible to lose your rewards. And that's why I want to encourage you, don't quit. Listen, as your pastor, you know what I want when you stand before God? I want you to receive a full reward. I want you to receive everything that God has for you. But you won't if you quit. You won't if you quit. You say, well, I've always quit in the past. Well, quit on quitting. How about that? Amen? Let's just quit quitting. In the first, this is the first, obviously, of the four messages here and continue. In John chapter 8, you can see an easy division in the chapter. In chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, we have the sinners. In verses 12 through 32, we have the Savior. And in 33 through 59, we have the stones. Just a simple outline. Verse 30 tells us that as He spake these words, many believed on Him. As Jesus spoke and He was giving His discourse that He was the light of the world. The Bible says many believed on Him. But then He said to those that believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then ye are My disciples indeed. In these two verses, ladies and gentlemen, there's a distinction between a child of God and a disciple of God. Did you know you can be a child of God and not be a disciple of God? You know how you become a child of God? You get saved. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Full and free. All yours for the taking. Praise God for that. But a disciple is a follower. Is a learner. The word, the Greek word is mathetes. It's 269 times used in your King James Bible. Always the word disciple. Learner or pupil. Jesus states here, if you want to truly be a disciple of God, you have to continue in the Word of God. It means if you want to call yourself truly a follower of God, you're going to have to be in this book. You're going to have to continue in what this book says. Just a few points tonight, I think four or five here. First of all, what we're going to need to do is we're going to need to continue reading the Word of God. Continue reading the Word of God. Would you hold your place there in John? Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Last book of the Pentateuch, Deuteronomy chapter number 17. And it's wonderful to hear those pages rustle, but I don't want to hear them rustle too long. Amen? Deuteronomy chapter number 17. Look at verse number 19. Deuteronomy 17. 19. It says, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. What's he reading here? Well, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes and do them. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we need to continue. If we're going to be a disciple, we're going to have to continue reading the Word of God. I hope every day, and you know how you do something for every day? You just do it today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about 3 weeks from now. Just do it today. I hope every day you have a time alone in the Word of God. Listen, I remember what it was to try and work a job and also be an associate pastor. And I don't say this to my glory, anything like that. But my reading time, Brother Jenkins, was on my 10-minute break at work. I had 10 minutes. And so I'd break open the Bible and have a donut or two or three donuts and five donuts or however many donuts, amen. And I'd read the Word of God. And I want to tell you, those 10 minutes of my day, Brother Becker, were so precious. And then came the afternoon break. 10 minutes in the afternoon. And then lunchtime. You read it on your... Listen, you may be so early. I know I talked to Pastor John. He was telling me about his study he was doing. He said, I do my study at night. It just works better for me with all the kids. Listen, read the Word of God. Read it. Read it. Isaiah 34:16 says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want. Listen, let us determine that 2011 is going to be a year of us continuing in the reading of the Word of God. I've read it before. Read it again. It's the only book that's alive. It's the only book where the author lives in your heart. Read it. Read it. How are you going to get to know Bible characters? Read the Bible. How are you going to get to know the Bible stories? Read the stories. Read your Bible. Now, I'm all for studying, and I'll get into that in a little bit, but read it. Read it. Secondly, not only continue reading the Bible, continue studying the Bible. Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter number 17. Continue studying. Not only continue reading God's Word, continue studying God's Word. Acts chapter number 17. I know most of us know the verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. We learn of a great church. We learn of some great Christians in Berea. That's why Berean Baptist Church is a famous church name. Look at verse 11. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And then what does it say? And searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you this year, yes, to read your Bible, but also to study your Bible. Now see, I am more of a studier. I think Pastor John, you and I have talked about this. I can dig into a verse for a week and just look at one verse. So I need to discipline myself, Brother Harmon, to read my Bible. I need to more discipline to read because I have a tendency to study more. But listen, study the Bible. Study the Bible. There are so many helps and programs and ways to help you study. Study the Bible topically. That's the way I first learned how to study the Bible. Take a topic in the Bible and study it. Study the second coming of Christ. Study the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Get you a topic, and you can get a topical concordance. I'll help you if there's something you're looking for in that. The Thompson Chain Bible, that's a topical study Bible. But study a topic. Study a book of the Bible. Study the book of Ephesians. Study the book of Romans. Study the book of John. Study a doctrine of the Bible. Well, I heard Pastor talk a lot about the blood atonement. What is that? Study it out. It's in there. Amen. It's in there. Study. Study Bible characters. One of my favorite ways to study is to study Bible characters. You study their good points, Brother Horse. You study their faults. And you learn from them. Study. Study the Bible historically. Listen, you don't have anything to fear. This Bible's not going to come up inaccurate historically. It's God's book. Amen. I'm going to just tell you just a few things to help you. Get you a good study Bible. Get a good study Bible. I've been using this study Bible for years. It's an old open Bible. The open Bible, it's called. Amen. And I love it. 1975 Old Time Gospel Hour edition. It's got a cyclopedic index in the front, which is basically a topical index with all the page numbers. I think about the Thompson Chain. I think about my wife introduced me to the Life Application Study Bible. There's some great helps out there. We have in our bookstore the Rock of Ages Study Bible. In my opinion, you'll not find a more fundamental study Bible than that Rock of Ages Study Bible. It's great. Get you a Bible and study. It's so great to have one of those study Bibles. I think of the King James Study Bible, another great study Bible. To get that and just read through Matthew and then read the notes. They're great. By the way, they're not inspired. They're not inspired. The text is inspired and preserved. But listen, they're helpful. They get us to studying and desiring the Word of God. I think of some books that could help you. Strong's Concordance. Webster's 1828 Dictionary, a great help in studying the Word of God. I have Unger's Bible Dictionary. Probably, other than my Bible, the book I use most is the Unger's Bible Dictionary. I think of a great book on theology, This I Believe by Dr. Harry Carr. Great book. Bible comp. Listen, there's all kinds of helps. There's most of these things you can get on a CD-ROM now for you computer people like Brother Kelly. Amen. I know he's a computer person. Amen. Right, Gloria? Brother Joe doesn't do computers. Amen. But you can almost get libraries on a little CD. Listen, study your Bible. Study it. It's worth studying. Learning more about the King of Kings. Continue reading God's Word. Continue studying God's Word. Continue also hearing God's Word. Faith cometh by and by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will after their own lust heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Go back to the book of Amos, little book of Amos. I'll give you more time to find that one. Amen. Book of Amos, chapter number 8. Tremendous verse. Tremendous indictment. Little book of Amos. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Look at chapter number 8 in verses 11 and 12. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Ladies and gentlemen, that's the day we live in. Listen, I, as your pastor, I desire that when you come here, that you're fed from the Word of God. And I build my sermons around the Scriptures, not the other way around. Amen. I don't build them around points, and I like to have points and all that. But if you notice in my messages, there's lots of Scripture. Because that's what we need. We don't need my opinion and my great illustrations or anything. We need the Word of God. But listen, if somebody comes to me and they say, "I'm not being fed," I'm going to say, "You're not showing up for dinner." Amen. Because, listen, we do our best to cook 4 good meals here a week in the scriptural bread oven. Amen. And I've had folks leave church and say, "Well, I'm just not being fed." Listen to me. Listen to me. First of all, you need to feed yourself. You don't live on 4 meals a week. We need to be studying the Word of God and reading the Word of God and continue hearing what God has to say. We've been studying the churches at Revelation. Each church, the end of the discourse to the church, you have this statement: "He that hath an ear, let him what the Spirit saith to the churches." Why don't you make 2011 a year where you listen to God? You know, when you read the Word of God, you know what you're doing? Listening to the written voice of God. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Continue reading God's Word. Continue studying God's Word. Continue hearing God's Word. Number 4, continue contending for God's Word. The book of Jude. Go to the book of Jude. Little book of Jude. If you're going to go to Jude, you're going to have to go to chapter 1. Amen. You go to chapter 2, I'm worried. I want to check your Bible out, see what version it is. Jude chapter number 1, verse number 3, right before the book of Revelation. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints." Can I tell you what that is? It is the entire body of Christian doctrine, and here it is. This is the faith. This is where we learn about the faith. And so you know what? The Epistle of Jude tells us we need to be contending for the faith. Not contentious, not cantankerous, not crabby, but contending for God's Word. Listen, I'm not mad at people that use different versions, but I will contend for this one. This one's the champ, Brother Jones. Amen. Nobody even coming close to this version for us English-speaking people that we hold in our hands. They can use the NASB and the NIV. No, you can't use the NIV anymore. You have to use the new NIV. And then next year it'll be the new NIV. But no. I'm going to contend for the faith. Because see, in this book, I believe it's the whole thing from cover to cover. It doesn't just contain the words of God. It is the Word of God. I'm so glad I believe every verse of God is inspired. I've heard people say about certain verses, well, we don't know if that one's really inspired. Well, gee, I hope John 3:16 is not one of those verses. Boy, I hope Romans 10:13, somebody just didn't insert that one. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, you mean I might not be... Listen, no. Listen, contend. Contend for the Word of God this year. Contend for it. Fight for it. Listen, this Bible's worth fighting for. Oh, you know, my daddy taught me, you don't start fights. Amen? But you don't walk away from them either. Amen? If somebody starts bashing the King James Bible, I told you that story this morning. Oh, you're one of those, huh? Yes, sir. I am one of those. Went into a church and fella, they used some off cockeyed version. He looked at me, what kind of Bible you got there? King James Bible, sir. Oh, you're one of those, huh? Yes, sir. Yes, I am. And I know why I am. Amen. Like I heard Dr. Rice say years ago, I'm a fundamentalist and I can spell it and I know why I'm it. Amen. Listen, continue reading the Word of God. Continue studying the Word of God. Continue hearing the Word of God. Continue contending for the Word of God. And then lastly, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Probably most of important of all, but they all go together. Kind of like you need your lungs, you need your kidneys, you need your heart. You need them all working together. You need your circulatory system. You need to be reading the Word of God so you can study the Word of God, so you can hear the Word of God, so you can contend for the Word of God. And then lastly, continue doing the Word of God. Look in verse 24. Here we have the story of the two foundations. Anybody who's ever been in junior church has sung this song. Amen. Wise men built his house upon a rock. Wise men built his house upon a rock. Wise men built his house upon a rock. And I can't remember. It's been so long since I taught junior church. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. Rains came down and look, all the kids are doing it. Amen. Rains came. But what was the difference? Look at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and you should underline this, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man. See, if you hear the Word of God and don't do it, God says you're foolish. I didn't say it. God said it. The Lord Jesus Christ said it here. Which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We're to continue doing God's Word. Continue doing God. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. And then he goes on to say, for if a man be a hearer only, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And he gives the illustration there. How many of you have ever, this would be going back a little bit. I think my generation probably the last one. How many of you have ever been in a fun house? Remember the old fun house? You go to the amusement park. You go in a fun house, and if you were a heavier person, you'd go into the mirror section in the fun house, and you'd get in front of the mirror that makes you look skinny. And if you were a person that could hide behind street signs, amen, really skinny, you would go into the mirror that make you look larger. That was part of the fun of it. You're like, oh, how do I look that? You know, that's what people do when they won't do the Word of God. And you know what they need to start doing? They need to start changing it to fit them. Instead of changing the man, they try to change the mirror. Listen, let's just change the man. Amen. If God puts His finger on an area of our life, let's just do what He says. Doers of the Word and not hearers only. Luke 8:15, talking about the sower and the seed. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the Word, keep it and bring forth fruit unto perfection. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, our lives should be a testimony of the power of the Word of God. Well, how are you going to do that? do what he says. Do what he says. I haven't preached it yet. I have a message called Because I Said So. It was a message, Pastor John, that was inspired of many life lessons that I learned from my father. Why do I have to do that, Dad? Because I said so. But why? Because I said so. Noah could have said, I'm 600 years old. Why do I have to build an ark? Because I said so. By the way, that's enough. God said it. Let's do it. Let's do what God said. You know, one day we're going to give an account for what we have heard. It's like that older gentleman I heard about that liked to plead ignorance, and the preacher would get up and he'd preach something. He'd say, oh, preacher, don't preach on that. Now I have to live it. Yes, you do. Amen? Listen, we're not only going to give an account for what we've heard, we're going to give an account for what we've done with what we've heard. And to whom much is given, of him much shall be required. You know, I want to encourage you tonight. Maybe last year was a bad year for you in your Bible. Well, it's gone. It's buried. It's not coming back. Amen? But you've got today. Today's the second. If you look at the bottom page of your bulletin there, you'll see a Bible reading schedule for this week. January 2nd through the 8th, Genesis chapter 3 through chapter 16, Matthew chapter 2 verse 1 through Matthew 5:16, Psalm chapter 2 through chapter 7, Proverbs 1:8 to 2:9. You know what? I dare say if you'll spend 10 minutes every day, you could read through your Bible in a year. Just reading. But then, oh, study the Bible and hear the Bible. And contend for the Bible. And then lastly, do the Bible. Let's continue. Don't quit. Don't quit. God doesn't want you to quit. Your pastor doesn't want you to quit. We need you. We need each other. Say amen. Amen. But we've got to continue. Continue. Continue in the Word of God. Our Father, we love you.